to Psalm 2. Psalms 2. Often that I start a part one on Sunday morning and then continue it on Sunday night, but that is the case for this sermon, for what it's worth. But Psalm 2. Psalms chapter 2, we're going to start reading with verse 1. And the Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Let's bow our heads there and pray this morning. Father, we're glad to be able to come before you. This psalm rings familiar for most of us. Many have parts of it, maybe all of it, tucked away in memory. I pray you might illuminate a portion of it here this morning for us, and for that matter, for tonight, that we might be instructed by it, Lord. May we not be deceived by our hearts, or deceived, for that matter, by the propaganda of this world or of the devil. I pray, Lord, that we might arise from this with the right heart and mind in these matters. If there's somebody here lost this morning, please deal with him about their salvation. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this psalm begins with a couple of great questions. Why do the heathen rage? It's a good question. In fact, I have a sermon on that, but not this morning. But why do the heathen rage, and why do the people imagine a vain thing? That's another good question. And we can undertake to answer that some other time. I hope that you will look at the passage deeply enough to see the doctrinal context. We can apply it to our day and will, but I hope that you can see something's going on here. I hope you can see this for what it is. This is about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. For instance, down in verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Jesus Christ reigning in Mount Zion. Notice, "I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." That's Jesus Christ. Ask of me, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That is, Jesus Christ receiving his kingdom, his throne in the millennium, and ruling over the nations and the heathen. And notice further, verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." He rules the nations with a rod of iron in the millennium, right? He says, "Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And then he closes in verse 12 with, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry." And literally, the nations will have to come before Jesus Christ and worship him there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my point with all that is, here you are. The context doctrinally of this passage places us in the millennium. All the way over in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, in the end of the millennium, where the heathen and the nations rage and imagine a vain thing, and once again come forth with revolution and rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. They have, by that point, had a perfect king for 1,000 years. They've lived in a perfect kingdom for 1,000 years. They will have enjoyed some, at least, of a sin's curse removed from nature and other things for 1,000 years. And yet, when Satan is loosed from his bands in hell after that 1,000 years is up, he finds the soil once again ready for revolt, and the nations do rise and the heathen do rise against the Lord, God, and his anointed Jesus Christ, and cause once again a revolution, Gog and Magog. We know that's when the Lord melts things down and makes the new heaven and new earth. But I wanted you to see that here we are with this place all the way up in the millennium, and after 1,000 years of perfection, Proverbs chapter 19 is still true. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Even in the millennium, after a king that's perfect, a kingdom that's perfect, man is still playing, will still be playing, the same old string on the same old violin. Oppression, we've been put down, legalistic, they may complain of even racism or persecution, and they will be talking about this terrible, tyrannical God they serve and his tyrannical son, Jesus Christ. And the world finds itself once again ready for revolt. And so those heathen rise up in verse 3 and say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. This God and his anointed son. Now imagine that. Here we are looking forward to the millennium. Here we are hoping that we will reign with Christ in the millennium. Here you are projected up in the millennium with a bunch of heathen saying, let us cast away their cords from us. Let us break their bands asunder. It's a remarkable thing. It's remarkable for you to think about the fact that in the millennium, after the millennium's over, you will have a bunch of people ready to revolt from under Jesus Christ, the perfect King. Now, all that points out to me, the text this morning is verse 3. Even in a day and an hour and for a millennium, after things have been made as perfect as they can be made here on earth until the Lord literally remakes everything, folks are going to still be complaining about the bands, the bonds, the cords that they are tied with. Oh, how man hates bonds and cords. Oh, how man hates boundaries and rules. Oh, how man hates thou shalt and thou shalt not. Men? He hates restraint. He hates being governed. He hates restriction. He hates limitation. He hates somebody having control of him. He hates being obligated to respond a certain way. He hates having expectations, well, expected of him. He hates the obligations. He hates the responsibility. And so you come down to the end of the millennium, and their battle cry in verse 3 is, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. Well, that's the millennium. As a matter of course, it's to be expected that we should find that very sentiment in full bloom today. After all, the devil is the small g god of this world today. After all, we live in perilous times, and men shall be lovers of their own selves, and they shall wax worse and worse as time goes by. We are told that vast proportions of men give heed today to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They'll be deceivers and being deceived, and so on. And even when you stop and consider, even for Christians, why, we Christians still abide in the flesh. I don't know about you, but my flesh hasn't changed since I got saved. It's just older. But I have the same flesh I had the day I got saved, and you do too. We still have that old man we talked about in Sunday school who is still in a close attendance and everything we do, that old nature, the old man, the flesh, he's, like I said, you get up in the morning and he's just right there in your face. Just right there. He's there all the time. I say further that, you know, this world pounds us continually with messages. We are constantly propagandized anytime we come in contact with the world, and further we have still before us. the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so I say that to say that it is therefore no surprise that not only in verse 1 do the heathen rage and the people, the heathen, imagine a vain thing, but it's also true that now there is a vast movement, a vast migration, if you will, among Christians in the emerging churches, the mega churches, the worship centers, the huge assemblies and such. And the migration is ever more towards an ultra-liberty, that is, license, where we don't want to be ruled, we don't want to be told what to do, we don't want the thou shalt, we don't want the thou shalt nots, we want to do what we want to do. And God loves us, so we should be allowed to do that. And evermore, there's this movement, and you don't have to go very far at all to find it, of alter grace, and that is basically justifying sin. But an expectationless theology, where Jesus loves me, Jesus saves me, He has no expectations of me, He's going to give me a ticket to heaven, and I'm going to go, and in the meantime, He wants me to be happy and rich. And so everything's positive, everything is based around man. It's man-centered, it's positive, it's pleasure-oriented. There's so much feel-good, there's no rules, there's no rebuke, there's no obligation. It's an unrestrained Christianity, almost. And if that's true, and I tell you, if you want to argue with me, that's fine. But I tell you, I believe it's true. And if that's true, then the battle cry today, almost as much for Christians, is verse 3, as well as it is for the heathen. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. So I got thinking about that. In fact, I have to admit, my wife said something about this the other day. She was thinking about it. I got this sermon from my wife. In fact, two sermons today, this morning and tonight. Now, I did my own thinking, okay? She didn't write anything down for me, but just so we give credit where credit's due. Anyway, before we get into it, let me make three very brief statements to make sure you understand. Now, you understand, we're Christians. We are not under the yoke of bondage. Right? You are clear, I'm sure, that we are not subjugated by the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, that was nailed up on the cross with Jesus Christ. I hope you know that I know that fully. I understand that. The heathen and the people of Psalm 2 in verse 3, I hope you know, are wrong. They should not cast off the Lord and His anointed's cords from them. I hope you know that. And I hope that you might realize today what our cry should be. I take from verse 3 the title of the message. The title of the message is Cast Not Away Their Cords. I'm telling you that there's a part of every Christian, genuine Christian here this morning, that does not like the restrictions in certain cases that God puts upon us. And if you're not careful, you will join the herd of folks going to the other end of the spectrum in Christianity that does want to break their bands asunder and cast away the Lord and His anointed's cords from us. I'd like to explain to you what these cords and these bands are this morning. I hope I might change your mind. Let us not cast away their cords. First of all, I hope it sounds strange to go to Leviticus at this point, but go to Leviticus and stick with me just for a minute here with a few places to turn. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. I sure will be glad to get this other hand back. It's now no good at all for turning pages, I assure you that. Leviticus 26. In Leviticus 26, the Lord, of course, Leviticus places us right in the middle of the law, the Mosaic law, and the Lord says this to his people in verse 13. He said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen in bondage, their bound. And I have broken the bands of their yoke, of your yoke, and made you go upright. He allowed those people to remove their bands and walk out of Egypt, right? Now, just to preclude something, he broke Pharaoh's yoke of bondage and gave to the people what? He gave them the Mosaic Law. Now, again, this is not us, but in the Old Testament, I wanted you to see that God broke Pharaoh's yoke and then gave the people actually another yoke of bondage, which was Moses' law, right? But for now, let that sit where it is. Notice Psalm 107. What I wanted you to see was that he broke their bands. He broke their yoke. Look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, go down to verse 14. Notice he brought them out of the darkness, or out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Now, these people in time wind up saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast away their cords from us, talking about the Lord and Jesus Christ. Here he says, I want to remind you that I brought you out of darkness and the shadow of death and break your bands in sunder. Just one more, Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, the Lord specializes in breaking bands asunder. Acts chapter 16. And if you will, go down to verse 26. Acts 16, we can start at verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now look, if you're saved, you had a day when the Lord break your bands in sunder. Amen? You were holden, according to Proverbs 5, with the cords of your sins. Maybe you weren't an addict after the fashion of the world, but I assure you that you were bound in your sins and you were going to wind up a worse wretch in time than you were when God found you. You were holden with the cords of your sin. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, we were all, before we were born again, children of the devil. Right? We were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh. In fact, Romans 7 says we were sold under sin. We were sold under sin. Ephesians 2 says we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It was not a good scene. And upon hearing and receiving Jesus Christ, you hath he quickened who were dead and trespasses and sins, wherein you walked in times past in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Furthermore, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened it together with Christ, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And you being justified by faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, I say that so that you can take that, and we read Leviticus 26, when the Lord broke the bands of Pharaoh, he actually laid another yoke on Israel, the children of Israel. He laid the law of Moses on them. Now, I wish to say that for me and you, God did not replace our bands and our cords with another law, another yoke. He did not do that for us, right? The fact is, you were purchased. Take your Bible and then we'll get down to it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You are different than Israel. You are different than any other group of people that has ever existed in time. Because after Christ died for our sins and we received Christ as our Savior, He broke our bands in sunder. He did not replace those bands with another yoke of the law. You were not placed back under the ordinances of the law. In fact, to summarize, you were purchased. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. The Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. But you're bought with a price. You were purchased. Look at one chapter over, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Notice verse 21. Art thou called, being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is God's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, I wanted you to see there that we are purchased. Now, we're purchased, but the Bible never ever calls us slaves. Right? The Lord purchased you, and you're purchased, and you're made sons. You're made a part of the family. You're adopted. You're made heirs. You were not the sheep of His pasture, but you were made His sheep. He made you ambassadors. He made you saints. He made you soldiers. He made you joint heirs with Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 7, He made you free. Now, you're not under the yoke of bondage, right? But you were purchased. Now, I can only say this. Shouldn't the purchaser have some input as to how you should live your life henceforth? Should not the purchaser have the privilege of holding you to certain expectations? And that is what my position is. Therefore, and for that reason, Christians do have, folks, hundreds of admonitions about how to live after they are Christians. They're admonished about idols. They're admonished about the flesh. They're admonished about corruption, pollution, how to keep your spirit clean, those sort of things. The world, the flesh, the devil, your friends, your companions, idols, sins, a jillion things. There are all kinds of admonitions and exhortations that a Christian has from the Scriptures about how to live after he's purchased, because he's been redeemed. And I say to you this, the Lord God did not place you under another yoke of bondage like He did Israel. That much is true. But He did, as the purchaser, place upon you certain cords of expectation. After all, He paid for you. After all, He suffered for every one of your sins. He bore your sins in His own body on the tree. Shouldn't He have the opportunity to have certain expectations of you as sons? So I'll ask you this. Is your cry the same cry as the heathen of Psalm 2? Because I tell you this, that is a bunch of Christians' cries. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. It ought not be your cry. The truth of the matter is, being purchased knowing what you were before you got saved, you should say, let us not cast their bands asunder. Let us not cast away their cords from us. Those are the cords of a purchase. The Lord Jesus Christ bought you. He should have something to say about how you live from henceforth. Not because you're under bondage. You're never going to lose your salvation. You never will. It doesn't keep him from expectations. And it's wrong that Christians by the herd now hold that they should not be under any kind of restraint or restriction by God or His anointed ever, because we have liberty. And that would be Phariseeism. It's just a terrible misconception. It's horrible. He purchased you. You're not a slave, but you were bought. And the price was high. I wanted you to see something else along that line. If you could turn to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. I started looking through the Bible for bonds, for somebody bound, something that binds, and for cords. And I came up with an interesting and a rather lengthy list, and that's why this goes on into tonight, because I can't cover it all this morning. So I took some things that applied particularly maybe to the Sunday morning crowd this morning. Look in Proverbs 7. So I was studying bonds and bindings and being bound and cords. And I found many things, but this. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3. Only let's start with verse 1. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Can we just come to one conclusion on keeping my words? That you're supposed to have the words of God. Can we just come to that agreement? Verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Now I know that, again, the Mosaic law does not apply to you in quite the same way that it did to somebody under the Mosaic law. But verse 3, bind them. Bind those commandments. I mean, tie them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman. Those commandments, those words, that law was supposed to be bound on the fingers of the children of Israel. And in time, those very people rose up and said, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. They would not keep the law. They basically broke it at every turn through time. But would you just please see that those cords were not intended to bind you down and trap you. Those cords were cords of protection. Look in verse 5. Bind them, why? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And the whole rest of the chapter is about that wicked, sordid, nasty, stinking woman. And for us, it's the world. It can be a religious system and all sorts of things. But those bonds, those cords, were intended for your protection, not your enslavement. And so not only would I point out to you the cords of a purchase, I would point out to you the cords of protection. Christianity right now is in a mad flight to put off restraint, restriction, control, the thou shalt, the thou shalt not. They call it Phariseeism. They call it legalism. And in the sense, in the way of what they call grace and liberty, they take freedom to themselves to do anything that they want to do. Now, whether or not, I hope you're not that way. You receive other instruction here, but I would assure you of this. Every single one of us here has that deep-seated desire down inside to cast away the bands, to cast away the cords. We don't like restraint. We don't like restriction. We don't like to be told what to do at that level, especially when the Bible says, don't even think that. Quit imagining that. We don't like that kind of intrusion. Every one of us here doesn't particularly like it. I just want to point out to you that those cords are cords of protection. You see, whether you like it or not, you do hope in the day that you, by your actions, put your marriage in jeopardy or put your financial status in jeopardy. You do pray. In fact, you probably expect God to swoop in and save your marriage and save your financial stability or save whatever issue it is that you have bound down with your sins and burdened down with your issues and habits and bad character. You expect the Lord to swoop in like the devil said, cast thyself off the pinnacle of the temple. He'll save you. Jesus Christ said, it is written, no. Well, we tend to expect the Lord to swoop in when we've imbibed in our sins to save whatever it is we think He should save. We expect that. What we don't particularly care for is the bands and cords of protection. See, this son was told what to do to keep from getting in a position where the Lord would have to work a miracle to save him. These were cords of protection. And ladies and gentlemen, what God has given you in the Bible is all kinds of preventative medicine if you will take the pill and if you will obey the admonitions. That's what we have in the Bible. We get a chance to look at scores of men's entire lives, many of whom lived long further than we ever shall. Some of them made mistakes for over 100 years. We get to see their lives in a few pages and learn from those lives, either good or ill. Not every religion in the world has that, by the way. Nobody ever learned anything from Muhammad's life, except that you should stay away from camels or whatever. But I digress. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, the cords of protection. The Lord gave you the book. You know what He said in Isaiah chapter 41? He said, I will hold thee by the right hand. Now, you know what that is? That's protective. You've seen that happen at Cub Foods. You've seen it happen at Walmart, where the little 3-year-old general who thinks he knows how to do everything is going to head out the door and get run over, and mom latches onto his right hand and makes him hold her hand all the way to the car. You know what that is? That's a protective measure, because he doesn't have any sense. And I got news for you. That's the reason the Lord does for you what He does for you, is to protect you. To protect you in specific in Proverbs 7 from that woman. Now there's a woman like that, and the world's like that. And there's a religious entity that's like that. There's all kinds of applications for that. It's not just a wicked woman, but it can be a wicked woman. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is those are cords of protection. And in time, the heathen rise up and say, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast off this God character. Let's cast off this Jesus Christ character who has ruled for 1,000 years in perfect harmony. Let's cast them off. Let's cast away their cords from us. And that sentiment abides in our lives if we're not careful. It certainly abides in much of Christianity. And it ought not be so. Our theme should be, let us not cast away their cords from us. I mean, those cords are cords of a purchase. You owe Him. Your cords are the cords of protection. I found an interesting thing I didn't know when studying this. I find that in Samson's life, Samson alone, in talking about being bound, binding, and cords, Samson is mentioned 16 times. 16 times Samson flirted with bonds and cords. In the end, it all boiled down to the fact that God said, I'm going to hold you to a Nazarite vow. If you'll stay in that Nazarite vow, you will be protected. Samson flirted for the better part of his life with bindings and cords until finally those Philistines put him in cords so that he could not break them. Those bindings that the Lord put on him were for his protection. Now look, how many people do you know that have been carried away bound? How many marriages really have you seen fail? How many times have you seen folks depart from the Lord and depart from all the Lord says a man should be? They knew the truth, they were Bible believers, and they basically were carried away to captivity, bound, like the children of Israel, like the kings of Israel, like the kings of Judah. Carried away, bound, perhaps, with their backsides showing to the world. Folks, those cords were cords of protection. I want you to see something else. Look all the way over to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. God help us that our rally cry not be, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. I hope that our rally cry can be, we appreciate the bands the Lord's laid on us. The cords He's given us have been cords of love. Let us not cast away their cords from us. You're not held under the law anyway. Nonetheless, the Lord has placed some cords. Look in Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. Look in verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam, burned incense unto graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms like a little kid, like you would a toddler, and help them along. But they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Now, verse 4 says that I drew them, God drew them with bands of love. Now, eventually the heathen say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. And I just want to say, there's worse things in this world than being bound by love. There's worse things in this world than bands of love. I'll tell you this, the devil doesn't love you. I'll tell you this, the devil will entice you and tempt you and draw you. And when it's all said and done and you've served him for a lifetime, he'll throw you away like a dirty, rotten piece of old underwear. He will toss you aside and never look back. He does not love you. Folks desire to follow his rules and they seek after the rudiments of this world, but he does not love you. He does not have your best interests in heart. The Lord said, for all the hard things, for the yoke that he laid on various people at various times, the Lord said, nevertheless, I drew you with the bands of love. I just want to say, there's worse things than that. I want to say that the world doesn't love you either. It'll set out all of its tinsel and all of its pretty, its glitter and all that kind of stuff. And you will be tempted because of your associations to pant after its nonsense. And when it's done with you, it'll leave you a broken heap. That's where it'll leave you. Some people beg to be part of those bonds. I think about folks that long so much to be the next big winner in some national singing thing, whatever they call those things. Hope that I can be recruited by some big college where one day I can go and be drafted by somebody and make some big money somewhere. And as almost always, those people all wind up in a heap, tossed aside, unloved by anybody. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of us have been down the road far enough to know that, and to be able to look back and see that Our parents who loved us and our parents that were Christians held us under certain bonds, and we didn't appreciate it at the time. But now we look back and can thank our parents for placing us under certain bands and under certain restraint. You know what those were? Those were bonds of love. You know what that is? That's a band. It's a band of love. We made a decision a long time ago. I ain't going to lunch with any of you women singly. She doesn't go out to eat with any of you guys singly. We came to an agreement. We were each other's. And that's it. And I'll tell you something. There's worse things than cords of love. And for whatever it is that the Lord has laid on you that you don't appreciate, for the things that He calls sin that still sin to you, for whatever it is that grieves you about going to a quote-unquote, it's untrue, legalistic church, I just want you to know there are worse things than bands of love. Because what the Lord set you under is love. He loved you, and He purchased you, and He's out to protect you. And there are worse things than that. There are worse rules to live by than that. And if you're seeking the world, it doesn't love you. And if you're seeking the devil, he flat sure doesn't love you. He hates your guts. He's going to use you up. He's going to take all your juices away and then leave you in a crumpled heap. Now, one last thing, and I'll be done this morning. Look in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. Those heathen rise up. Let us break their bands asunder. God's bands. The Lord Jesus Christ, His anointed bands. And let us cast away their cords from us. We're tired of being ruled by them. We're tired of this tyranny. It's awful. Let's break it. Let's throw it away. Let's not. Those cords are cords of a purchase. Those cords are cords of protection. Those cords are cords of love. Let me remind you of this, and then we'll finish up some other things tonight. Psalm 118, go down to verse 27. God is the Lord, is that agreed? Which hath showed us light, is that agreed? Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Now I know it's written in David's day. I know that David was under the law. I know there's a way that doesn't apply to us, but I know that a way that it does. Look in Romans chapter 12, and then that's all you'll have to turn this morning. Romans 12. You know it, Romans 12. It said, bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what you're called to do. And I just want to say that there are, true enough, you go read the last few chapters of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Timothy. You will find all kinds of admonitions that have to do with putting you under a certain kind of rule and restriction and expectation. Pray without ceasing, right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. And one of the very places where it said it purchased us, it said you ought to abstain from fornication. Those things are wrong. But it's not because we're under the law. It's because He's purchased us and has a right to tell us how we should live. It's the cords of a purchase. It's the cords of protection. I'm trying to keep you away, he says, from that wicked woman. It's the cords of protection. It's not a yoke of bondage. He's trying to help you. And it's cords of love. I'd like to say lastly, it's the cords of a sacrifice. What are you living for? I don't know. Whatever it is you're living for, I'll tell you what, you're dying for it. Because you're burning your candle to use it up. If you're living to be the next great sports hero or the next great entertainer, you're using all your energies and all your time and all your talents, burning your candle down to the very end just to try to make it there. You're dying for that. You're sacrificing your life for that. There's many a man that sacrificed his health, his strength, and his family for what he wants. Whatever it is you're living for, you're dying for, you're sacrificing for. I know what I'm supposed to sacrifice for. I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice. And that sacrifice is going to have to be bound, because the sacrifice doesn't want to lay on the altar and stay sacrificed. The sacrifice wants to kick and move and struggle and to fight the restrictions. I'm telling you, it's the cords of a sacrifice. He purchased you. He wants to protect you. He loves you. And so he's given you rules to live by. And as a child, when you go awry, he's going to whip you. And rightfully so. But let us not cast these cords from us. Let us not break their bands asunder as the heathen do. Let us not cast away their cords from us like the great herd of Christianity is doing. That's the grand movement in Christianity right now. Some are Christians. Some are only Christians in name only and are not saved at all. But that's the grand movement. That's the great immigration in Christianity, is towards ultra liberty and ultra grace. And I don't want to be told anything. I don't want to be taught anything. I don't want anybody to rebuke me ever. I want to hear positive stuff. I want to be affirmed. If you're going to give me rules, don't talk to me. I don't care what you paid for me. I don't care how much you love me. I don't care how much you're trying to protect me. Leave me alone. That's Christianity's theme. If you don't agree, I'm sorry. You need to read more. Let us not cast their cords from us. Let's not. Let's bow our heads and pray.